Well, it's good to be here tonight, and it's good to see each and every one of you. And you guys are a good congregation. You sing well, you play well, you sing well, your special was beautiful. And it's good to be in a church that worships the Lord. That's a good thing. And keep it up, and you're attentive, and I appreciate that as well. Tonight, we're going to look at the book of Psalms. Psalm 25 is where we're going to look, and I must confess, I told you this morning that I felt like the Lord helped me know where we're supposed to go. And we preached about Revelation and this morning, talking about heaven. That's always a beautiful thing to talk about. And tonight, I felt like a week or two or a month ago when Brother Ziegler called me, this is where we should go. But then all afternoon, I thought I was off track. But I don't think I am. I just need to listen to what the Lord has. And I must also confess, this is a weird sermon. I'll just tell you right now. I am going to be as transparent as I can be. It's almost a devotional, okay? I almost want to stand right down there and talk to you because it's not really a preachy sermon. And that's not me. I don't, you know, I've been here a little bit now, so you kind of know my MO a little bit. If I have one, I'm still trying to develop that, okay? So you bear with me tonight. Psalm 25, and that's what I feel like we should talk about tonight. Psalm 25, we're going to read the entire psalm. Don't worry, it won't be too long tonight. There's only 22 verses. Life is hard. So encouraging. There are many stressors in life. Workload, mom life, dad life, school, physical challenges. You want to lose weight or you want to gain weight? Emotional challenges, financial difficulties, sick children, your car breaks down, your roof needs replaced. Life is fun, right? Things that you just don't expect to come into your life seem to happen all the time, and what does that do? It brings a little bit of anxiety, right? Psalm 25 is where we're going to look tonight. Pictures life as a difficult journey that we can't successfully make on our own. Another encouraging truth for tonight. You cannot successfully walk through life without it being difficult. Life is hard. But I want to tell us tonight and remind us that even though life is difficult, even though there are challenging circumstances that come into our world, the help that we need comes from God. God can be trusted, and when we put our trust and when we put our faith in God, God brings us to victory. And so we're going to read the psalm tonight. You can follow along with me, and we'll get through it. Now, I want to say, we don't know when this psalm was written. Sometimes we get a glimpse as to when David or whoever wrote the psalm, most of the psalms are written by David, but we're not sure if David wrote this psalm when he was going through some difficult circumstances right then, or if it was later in his life. It very well could have been. He is now almost done with his reign, and he's reflecting back on the things that had happened in his life, and then he wrote the psalm. We're not sure. And so I wanted to mention that to you tonight. Psalm 25, a psalm of David. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to my mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach the sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach in his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn thee unto me, and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon my affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider my enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. O my soul, O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of his troubles. Tonight, as we're traveling through life's journey, we must remember that the help that we need comes from God. In verses 1 and 2, David talks about lifting his soul to the Lord. He talks to God and says that he trusts him. Now, if you consider David's life, if we go back and just zoom out and look at David's life, you would remember that one day Samuel came to Jesse's house. And he tells Jesse, David's father, I'm to anoint one of your sons to be king, right? You remember that story. And Jesse brings his firstborn son. He thinks he's the guy, the firstborn, probably the best looking. You know, firstborns typically are the best looking, most well presented, smartest, get the best grades. I'm a firstborn. Jesse brings his firstborn to Samuel, and he's the guy. And Samuel says, no, you're not. He brings his next son, and he's not the one. He brings the next son, he's not the one. And the next son, he's not the one. And finally, Samuel is saying, listen, I believe the Lord told me to come to your house. There's got to be a son that you have that I must anoint. Where is he? And Jesse says, oh, yeah, David, he's in the field. He's tending the sheep. He's way in the back. Do you really want me to go get him? And Samuel says, yes, go get him. They bring David, and what happens? They anoint David king, right? From that moment until really the rest of his life, David is thrown into all sorts of troubles, right? Now, there already is a king. Saul's the king. David's not the king yet. He's anointed king, but Saul's still there. And then David makes friends with Saul's son, Jonathan. And so they're friends, but Saul's the king, and now somewhere along the line, they get sideways, and they're fighting, and David finds himself running from Saul, so he isn't killed. You remember all of that? Following me? And in 1 Samuel chapter 30, David finds himself at one of the lowest points in his life. He had been running from Saul. He had the Amalekites had attacked the city where his wives and his children and everything that he had was there. The Amalekites had attacked that city and they had taken them captive. You remember that? And David's mighty men that he has surrounding him are with him, and apparently their wives and their children were there as well, and they had been captured. All right? Following me? And so now David is on the run from Saul. David is away from his family. David finds himself on the countryside somewhere, and he gets word that his family has been taken, his friend's family has been taken, and he is at one of the lowest points of his life. And in fact, it kind of gets worse. It definitely gets worse, because in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6, it says, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, and every man for his sons and his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Get this picture. David is running from Saul. His men are with him. His men's family has been taken captive, and now they're trying to kill David because they're so greatly distressed. And in that chaos, in that calamity, in that upheaval, what does David do? He encourages himself in the Lord. That's awesome. That's amazing. That's why I believe David's a man after God's own heart, because he could do that. He recognized that the here and now is not for now. It's to build his kingdom and to have a relationship with God. David encouraged himself in the Lord. It's been said, and I kind of like this quote, it says, when the outlook is bleak, try the uplook. David didn't want to fail and bring disgrace to the name of the Lord. And friends, no matter what is going on in our lives, no matter what is big or small, whatever is going on in your life, do not allow yourself to fail the Lord in your time of need. It can be easy for us to get into circumstances where things are simply not going our way. Your car breaks down, then you go home and you find out that you have hail damage, and then you figure out that your other car broke down, and then you figured out that you need to go to the doctor appointment because you have strep. You know, it can compound. And before you know it, you are all out of sorts and you're upset and everything is just caving in and we just want to crumble and forget life, right? We've all been guilty of that. But we must remember that the help that we need comes from God. The help that we need comes from God, and we're not going to receive help from God if we're complaining and grumbling and being self-centered all the time. We need to remember in the difficult moments of life to encourage ourselves in the Lord. Back to Psalm 25. Look at verse 4 and 5. David prayed not only for God to help him, but he prayed in verses 4 and 5 that God would show him the way. Show me thy way, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth. Teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. When life brings chaos to you, remember God, but then ask for God's guidance and help. Ask for God's guidance and help. A lot of times when we get caught up in our day-to-day task and life creeps in, we simply, if you're like me, I try to fix things. If something goes wrong, I'm going to try to figure out how we can fix it as fast as possible and mitigate anything else that would bring negativity to my life. I want it fixed now and as best as possible. And we start to try to fix this and this and this and this and this and this and this, and we start doing all that we know to do, and before long, sometimes we can get so out of control that we make more of a mess than when we started. You know, it's important to just stop and ask God for guidance and for help. You can stop and say, Lord, I don't know what you want to teach me here in this moment, but can you help me? I need your strength and help right now. God wants to hear from his children. Did you know that? God wants to hear from you, and you can ask for his guidance and his help. But then, don't only ask for guidance, but ask God to show you himself in his word. Read God's word with expectations that he will speak to you. Read God's word with expectations that he will speak to you. The help that we need comes from God. God longs to help us, but he also wants us to ask for guidance, and he wants us to show us the way. Now let's move on. We're moving quickly. See, I told you we're going to do all right. Verse number 8 through 14, we can observe that our God can be trusted. David in verse 8 is meditating on the goodness of God. The verse says, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach the sinners in his way. Upright, the word upright there, is acting according to his promise. So good and upright, acting according to what God has promised. The verse goes on and says, therefore will he teach the sinners in the way. Verse 9, the meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. What does meekness mean? Meekness is strength under control. If we submit ourselves to him in meekness, he will teach us his ways. But if we're arrogant, he will be silent. Meekness is not weakness. It's power or strength under control. And when we allow God to make us meek, allowing him to control us, verse 10 then says, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth, unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. You know that you can lean on that and you can trust on that. Do you know that tonight? You can believe that all the paths lead to mercy and truth, and you can stake a claim there. Life brings chaotic things into your life. Stay committed to the Word of God. Stay committed to what God has required of you, and you can trust Him to see you through. Finally, when you seek God's help and trust Him, God brings us to victory. And so now we're going to look at the remaining part of this passage, and we're going to see how God brought David to victory in various aspects of his life, okay? In verse 15 through 22, David turns his focus again and asks God for guidance and help. He has burdens. He has cares. You can read down through this psalm and recognize them. But David wouldn't mention them to the Lord if he didn't believe that the Lord could help him. Why would you pray to the Lord if you didn't believe the Lord could help you? You wouldn't. We pray because we believe that the Lord can help us. So what were the enemies that God helped David conquer? Well, let's look at verse 15. God helped David conquer danger. Let's read it. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Satan loves to lay traps and distractions in our lives to bring us down spiritually. But he can still, through God's grace and mercy, God can bring us to victory. Friends, beware of what Satan has planned for you. Don't fall into his traps, but rather trust God. He can bring you to victory. Satan loves to hurl temptations at you. Just because you're saved and entirely sanctified doesn't mean that temptation will not come. Temptation is still around. And Satan loves to lay traps in your way to try to trip you up spiritually. Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. God helped David conquer danger. The next enemy that God helped David conquer was loneliness. You say, where'd you get that? Look at verse 16. Turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. David was lonely. I'd kind of be lonely too if all my friends left me. My family's gone. I'm on the backside of nowhere and they're trying to kill me. You'd be lonely too. He was going through all sorts of terrible things in his life, yet he was able to trust God, and God brought him to victory. I don't know if you're lonely tonight. Maybe you are. God can help you. He can bring you to victory. The next enemy that was conquered was a broken heart. Verse 17. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Oh, bring thou me out of my distresses. You know, we all go through times in our life where our heart simply is breaking. Maybe it's a loved one that's passed. Maybe it's a burden that you've been carrying. Maybe it's a lost a friend or family member that you're praying about and your heart is breaking over it. There are times where we have a broken heart. What we need to remember is that when our hearts are breaking, God can mend the broken pieces. And He loves you and He cares for you. He knows exactly where you're at tonight. And He wants to bring you to victory. And He can. But I must warn us tonight that bitterness and anxiety can be a byproduct of a broken heart. If your life is not in step with the Spirit, if you are not walking with God, your broken heart can turn into bitterness if you're not careful. Give it to Jesus. He'll bring you to victory. Next, David found victory over regrets. Verse 18, look upon my affliction and my pain and forgive all my sins. You know, many times Satan comes alongside us and he tries to tell us that we're no good anymore. He tries to remind us of our past. He tries to tell us that you can't make it anymore. Just go ahead and give up. But I have good news for you. Do you know that your past does not have to define your future? It doesn't. And you can recognize tonight, by God's grace and mercy in your life, you can make it. And God loves you, and He's going to continue to help you on your journey. If you're saved and walking in the light God has given you, God has already redeemed your past. Keep walking in step with Him, and Christ will bring you to victory. David found victory over regrets. The next thing David found victory over was fear. Verse 19 and 20. Consider my enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. Oh, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. David had a lot to be afraid of, didn't he? He was in a hard place. He was running for his life, no doubt. Like I said a few moments ago, we're not sure when this was written. He could have been reflecting back when he was running. But we do know he was running at some point in his life. We do know he had a lot of challenges that he was facing. But David chose to trust God and let God take care of that for him. You know, that's kind of hard to do. When you're in the heat of the battle and things aren't going like you planned, it can be difficult to just say, Lord, I need you right now, and I'm going to trust you with my future. What fears do you need to give to the Lord tonight? Friends, you can trust God, and if you're walking with Him, if you're faithful to Him, He will bring you to victory. And lastly, David found victory over despair. David found victory over despair. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Redeem, O Israel, O God, out of his troubles. David chose to wait on the Lord. He chose to rest in hope. And when we do that, when we remember who Christ is and what he's done for us, we can have victory over the despair in our life because he is our hope. We remember about what we talked about this morning, that he's coming again. Heaven is waiting for us, and we can remember that he is with us, and he is going to help us make heaven our home. David found victory over his enemies. Why? Because David realized that the help that we need comes from God. David blessed God in the hard times and gave God the glory, and he recognized that everything good in his life was a result of God's grace and mercy in his life. So, what in the world are we going to take away from this unique sermon tonight? Well, life's hard. But you can find comfort and rest in knowing that the help that you need comes from God. You can trust Him. You can rely on Him. You can find victory in him. And when you do, you can glorify his name and tell others what Jesus has done in you so that he may be glorified. And when you do that, it's amazing. When you're going through a difficult time and everybody knows it, and you go start talking about my difficulties and you praise the Lord through that difficulty, what that does to other people around you, that lifts and that glorifies his name. So, life is hard, but God is able to help us. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth. We thank you that we have examples to follow. We ask that you would help us to heed the truth that you have for us. Help us to find comfort and rest in you. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for coming tonight. You're a beautiful looking crowd. Shake hands, be friendly. Keep it under 150 when you go home on these dirt roads, and you should be all right. You're dismissed.